Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello? Hello?
Podcast Network Asia. Network Asia.
You cannot just brush off customer service. You cannot just brush off the operating system, the SOP, something like that. So it's the same way as with what we're doing right now. So to spread out our name, our brand, we are doing the franchise. And then here's the good news. We also created another company. It's called Bex Worldwide. It was launched last year, actually. Bex Worldwide now serves as the sales arm. Why is it the sales arm? Because with Bex Worldwide, we help out our clients build their own businesses.
And good evening, good afternoon, good morning from wherever you're watching, from here in the Philippines and from all over the world. My name is RJ Ledesma, and welcome to my podcast, the RJ Ledesma Podcast. In this podcast, I interview the country's pioneering business personalities and entrepreneurs to learn more about how they are thinking about doing business. What are their success secrets? Can they share them with us? How have they innovated or pivoted their businesses during this pandemic? But more importantly, what business opportunities do they see emerging for other fellow entrepreneurs during this new, or rather, now normal? Is there a business personality or entrepreneur that you would like me to interview here on the podcast? Please let me know. Drop me a message. I would love to hear from them. I would love to pick their brains. We are also live right now on Kumu, CBRC TV, Global Pinas TV, and the Bounce Back Network. If you are enjoying this podcast and are learning a lot from it, please subscribe and invite more friends to listen to the RJ Ledesma podcast, also here on YouTube. Now, before we begin with the podcast, I just like to thank our friends and give a shout out to Vessel. Vessel PH can help you future-proof your business by boosting your digital presence and making sure that you can attract more customers and more sales. If you want to learn more about them, just click on the link in my description. Tonight, a business which began and boomed amidst this pandemic. We have the founder and president of BEXES Logistics Solutions. Her name is Marjorie Medina Rubio, and she is a Bulacan-based express courier that started amidst this pandemic. Now, Bulacan is not always included in most local courier service areas, so Bulacan Express Courier Services, or BEXES, was created to bridge gaps in the local e-commerce community through providing excellent logistics solutions. They call themselves an end-to-end fulfillment logistics solutions company. BEXES offers express delivery, international shipping, whether import or export, cargo via land, sea, or air, and warehouse and inventory management to small and medium enterprises. Other branches also serve as a remittance and payment center for all the customers. Since then, and since it started during this pandemic, they already have 10 branches, 4 of which are owned by the company, and 6 are joint ventures throughout Luzon. Not only that, they are about to begin expanding their footprint nationwide. And let's find out more about that. And please welcome my good friend, Miss Marjorie Rubio. Marge, welcome to the program.
Hi. Good evening, good afternoon, good morning to everyone. I'm glad to be here at your show.
Marge, it's so nice to have you here. And I've been looking forward to it. I've been seeing all the great news about the company. In particular, you just hit your second anniversary. How does it feel? Because, I mean, your company was born amidst the pandemic. Companies have shut down. Now you're even celebrating. How's it like for you?
Well, it's overwhelming, RJ. Not just overwhelming, of course, but we're just blessed. And we're fortunate to be one of those, as what they say, where we belong to the disruptive companies who were born in the midst of pandemic.
I love that. And we're going to talk about a bit more about disruption later on and what you were disrupting. But again, yeah. You know, your company truly embodies what Albert Einstein once said, which is in the midst of crisis lies great opportunity. Right? I mean, that's right. Exactly where you guys entered into. And just recently, unfortunately, I wasn't able to make it because I was also hosting, but you just launched your second anniversary and right. You had a big announcement over there. And what's a big announcement that you had, Marjorie, during your anniversary?
Yeah, so we launched April 29th in Resorts World. It's our grand launch also for the franchise line. So we opened to the public our franchise line, and we also announced that we are pioneering the blockchain applied logistics in the Philippines.
Wow, blockchain! For logistics, yes, I can see the possibilities right now that's going to happen as a result of the blockchain over here. And maybe later on, we'll explain it a bit more for the other people who can get a better appreciation of how blockchain will really change the way that we do business in the logistics industry at the same time. But for those who are interested to become future or potential franchisees of BEXCS, is that how you call it, BEXCS?
BEX.
BEX. Okay, if you want to be a future BEX franchisee, how can they get in touch with you?
Well, they can go to the website. It's www.bex.com.ph. And all the contact information is there. Once they message us through Facebook as well, our franchise associates will be reaching out to them.
Fantastic. So let's just leave that over there. That's beccs.com.ph from Marge. And Marge, this is the more interesting thing, you know, I want to ask. You know, you're a relatively new player, 2 years, but the company appears to be thriving. I'm going to go straight into the entrepreneurial thinking that brought about this one.
Yeah.
And before that, no, I often tell people there has to be a, you know, in marketing, they call it the unique selling proposition, or I guess maybe the secret sauce. I mean,
yeah.
There are many logistics companies. So how are you able to expand during the pandemic? Or what makes you different? What is the secret sauce that you think you had that makes you slightly different from the other logistics companies that are out there, big or small?
Yeah. So number one, our business model is very different. Right now, we are more on the logistics solution side of the business, meaning to say we have international shipments, express deliveries, name it. So whatever the company needs to flourish, to thrive, we are there to support them. So we also give our expertise in terms of the solutions that we can provide to them, not just in terms of delivery, but we also design the logistics for them. That's the unique selling point. We design the logistics for them. We pick the kind of logistics that would suit their budget and also their needs. So it's going to be easier for them to scale the business. So those are the keywords. We want to help businesses scale their business more in terms of having a back-end support. Plus, we also combine financial technology with logistics in the franchise setup that we have right now.
Okay. For those who don't appreciate what makes you a bit more competitive or your secret sauce, why? What's the current way business is being done if you approach a logistics company? And how are you doing it differently? Run me through the customer experience if I was going through a traditional logistics company and then if I was going to go through you. I hope you don't mind. So that at least we get a better appreciation. Uh-oh.
Right, right. So for example, we have a client, sila, they're shipping, they're shipping shoes, right? So some of this have different packages for shoes. Some of them would ship like 1 to 5 boxes. And then sometimes they would get resellers from other provinces, which, kasi if I'm the one who manufactures the shoes or if I rebranded it, I would want to sell it outside my community. So in our case, for example, if they go to us, the standard procedure for shipping a parcel, it would always fall on the volumetric size. So whichever is higher, volumetric versus the actual weight. So volumetric means you do have to multiply the length with height, something like that. And then it will always fall on the table of rates. Okay, there's a standard. Mm-hmm. But in our case, what we do is that we look into the package, we see the design, we tell them, okay, you know what? You can get more cost-effective shipping if we put it on cargo. If your client is not in a hurry to receive your goods and they want the value. You know, kasi sometimes mas mura pa yung item dun sa shipping cost.
All the time.
Diba? So parang masakit yon. So parang masakit sa client yon. So what we do is we tell them that, okay, let's do the cargo instead of the regular parcel delivery. That way they receive it on time, but they also, the cost is also half the price. Kasi it's tailored fit. And we do this to a lot of clients. One of our clients is also a mall. So they have big sizes, they have small sizes. And then we design it for them. We tell them, when do you, how do you ship this one so that it will be more cost effective for your buyers.
Wow. So it's really customized to be able to achieve that. What?
There's a lot, yes. There's a lot of customization.
Just a question. Like last week, I interviewed my friend Kevin Carrion of Matchmo. And the thing about Matchmo is that, you know, it matches home loans to buyers, right? Because they have an algorithm that immediately says, okay, more or less, if you fall into this category, if you've studied the banks, we know your percentage of success will be better, with your probability of getting the loan from this bank would be better.
Yeah.
Is it the same thing? Have you developed some sort of algorithm also in BEX to make sure that, you know, if based on the package size and everything else, this might be the best route for you, the best cost for you? Or is that mano-mano pa rin?
Right now, yeah, we've developed that part of the dashboard. We have that. If it triggers, so when you input in our new dashboard, it would trigger if we know that the actual size is much heavier and we know that the items to be shipped is for business. So then there's something like that. If we know that this is for business, then we cater it to cargo instead of the regular delivery. So we have a lot of solutions. Like, for example, we also have clients who are shipping flowers. So this cannot be catered by a regular, you know, by the regular couriers right now. Kasi it's only, let's say, Grab, the on-demand deliveries. But what if the other people outside the community or they don't like the pricing for on-demand? What's going to happen? So we have a standard rate. Okay, if we deliver it to this province, this will be your standard rate, and so on and so forth. So we tailor fit for the industry, if it's food. We tailor fit if it's for flowers, perishable, for its if it's B2B, so something like that.
Wow. So it's two things. It's a one-stop shop for logistics, and it's also a customized shop for logistics.
Yes.
Really amazing thing. And with that, let me just go first to our chat box, our comment box, and say hi to some people over here. First person I actually want to say hi over here to is, of course, to Mai Sandico, the president of our BNI. Our first comment over here is saying, good evening, RJ Ledesma and Marjorie Rubio. Thanks so much, President Mice, for supporting us. Also, please watch Mice. He's got her own show, The MySpace Show. He also says at the last part, Mai Sandico, go, 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 hashtag Bex over there. Now, at the same time, we also have over here, my good friend over here, Felix Asuncion, RMT. Good evening, everyone. Now, the reason I'm greeting Felix is because Felix and I both belong to Tetrix, which I just featured last Thursday together with Eman. It is a place where you can play on the blockchain, where everything basically is on the same platform that you can play with to connect different players on the blockchain. And I think that the solution which you're offering, which is bringing blockchain to logistics, is something that we can work together here on the podcast. And that's why really we do the podcast in the first place. It's the idea that over time, we get to meet different people, see how we can collaborate and help grow our ecosystem, both for starting and aspiring entrepreneurs. Thanks so much for saying hi to Felix over here. And of course, I have over here Ruby Evangelista. Woohoo! Good evening, Sir RJ and Miss Marjorie. And last but not the least, comments keep on coming in. We've got Bex Logistics Solutions. Excited to see you, Miss Marge and Sir RJ. Guys, keep your comments coming. I would love to speak to all of you and to reflect and to share your comments later on as we continue with this discussion. So let's get back right now, Marge. No? So we know right now that it's both a customized solution and a one-stop shop solution.
Yeah.
And, you know, offline we were talking is that, you know, I often want to find out what was the person's background to understand this opportunity. Because like we often say, diba, entrepreneurship, the entrepreneurial mindset is that for every an irritation leads to an inspiration for doing business, or there's a pain point that comes to your head clearly as a business opportunity. Were you in the logistics business before this one, or you weren't in the logistics business before this? Is that what gave you the insight?
I wasn't in the logistics business at all. It was, so I was a market analyst for 6 years. And then I was, my background really is from BPO. So I did a lot. I worked
and let's go back a bit more. In fact, you were actually an accountant, diba? You were actually an accountant by profession and by college degree, diba? Because I want to show people that, you know, I mean, being an entrepreneur, you can come literally from any background. And your professional background might have nothing to do at all with the business you're doing here right now. So paikwento lang. Let's do a bit of kwentuhan over here. You began as an accountant.
Yeah, so I graduated. I can't remember when. Oh my God, parang ang tagal na. But yeah, I graduated as an accountant in FEU. And then I ventured right away to accounting. So I worked for ABS actually, a company under ABS. But I found myself really not into the accounting because I was very talkative at the time. So parang all my bosses didn't want me at the office because I talk a lot. So what I did was, because the pay wasn't that good, and that time all the BPO, the call centers, were emerging. So I came to a point that I applied and I was happy with the pay. And then I stayed for a very long time. I became a trainer. So I did a lot of upselling. And so, you know, my core competencies came up from being an agent to being a trainer in the call center. And I communicate well.
So your talking was put to good use. Na-monetize mo yung talking mo. Or na-weaponize mo yung talking skills mo.
Right. So I found out that I'm very good. I'm a people person. And then I also love, you know, connecting people. So that has been my work. And then when I got pregnant, I didn't know that I was going to be put on bed rest because it was a complicated. I had to wait for my son for 8 years when I got pregnant. And then the doctor told me that you can't work anymore. That's it. You can't work anymore because it's a very risky pregnancy. So I had to stay at home. And then I had to sell. I had to sell a lot because we're not earning as much as when I was in the call center. So I had to do a lot of side jobs. I did selling, I did part-time services, everything under the sun. And that's where I landed my work as a virtual assistant. And I became a market analyst as well.
Can you explain what you mean by, for those who may be encountering the term virtual assistant for the first time, what did you have to do over there?
So before pandemic, you know, guys, there's already a lot of people like us who work at home. So we're the ones who's, you know, wearing suit, but, you know, you have boxers underneath. So we do a lot of virtual work.
So kayo na una dyan pala sa trend na yan.
Yes. Ah, okay. Yes. That's right. So we were the few ones. I think the virtual assistant world was just emerging at that time. It was in 2014. So I started in 2014, the virtual assistant thing. I was a real estate agent in the US, selling houses and properties in the US without being there. And I haven't been in the US.
Wow.
I had a lot of training. Even in communication, you needed to sound like you're a Native American from the company. Because when you sell the...
Sige nga, pa-sample naman dyan. Paano? Gusto ko marinig yan. Di ba pwede?
I don't know. I don't know if I can still do it.
Yung neutral American accent pala pang ganyan.
Oh my God. I don't know. Like, we usually when we pitch them the sale, like hi Joe, good morning. This is Marge. I'm calling from Remax International Property. So I just wanted to know if you are interested in listing your property at something like that.
Kaya yung mga BPO, she's still got the skill.
Yes, BPO. Hi guys.
So a lot of those skills you actually picked. So the interesting thing, and I like people to kind of pick up from this conversation is that nothing goes to waste, right? I mean, all the background that you had from, I guess, from accounting to your trainings, you know, being a trainer and your sales skills, all those things kind of prepare you for your future job. Sabi ni Ruby, evangelista dito, galing. Siyempre magaling. And then my son Dico also saying over here, clap, clap, clap. Really, really great job over here, Marge. And I'm so impressed because it's really about the hustle that you put into this.
Yeah.
Okay. So for virtual assistant, you were selling properties in the US, right?
I was.
And then eventually, how did you end up becoming a market analyst? Because I mean, when you say market analyst, it presupposes that you have some skill sets or analytical skills that gave you the ability to become a market analyst. How did you qualify for that eventually?
Actually, I was trained. I owe it to my boss. His name is Jamie Miyazaki. Jamie, if you're listening to this, hello to the show. So I got acquainted with my client, Jamie, because one of my church mates introduced me to him. At that time, he was just looking for an assistant talaga, an assistant, executive assistant. And so he trained me for a couple of years. He was giving me research, and then I had to interpret maybe 10 years of background for the financial company data, right? Something like that. So I have to interpret the market trend. I have to do a lot of analysis. And then he puts it on the report. And then he asked me, okay, do you think this is worth your time studying? Like, so parang at that time, to be honest, RJ, I had been crying a lot. Because he would get mad. Like, if I don't get the analysis correct, if he can't get the answer from me right, and I would say, I want to quit this job. I really want to quit this. I always tell it to myself because I have been dreaming na parang, oh, I'm so tired. I just want to stop working. And you know, but I can't do it because I need to hustle. I need to earn for my son. So, and I didn't know, little did I know that the role that I had with that company played a very, very crucial and important role here on the business that I have put in Bex.
Wow. So let's get into that one. So you learned the skills of market analysis. And what was the biggest skill that you gained from being a market analyst that you were able to reapply, I guess, into becoming the to putting up that entrepreneurial venture that you had? What did you pick up from it the most?
Well, I learned how to read the market, the emerging trends. I know how to pivot the business because I know where to start and I know where to end. So like whatever I'm doing right now, so I'll spoil a bit. Whatever I'm doing right now, this has been plotted in my previous plans before.
Still thinking of what career is best for you? My name is Pat Soyo. Check out my podcast where we answer questions and debunk job descriptions by interviewing professionals so we can put an end to our career search. This is Job Defined. Available on wherever you listen to your podcast, powered by Podcast Network Asia.
I see. And so, but that means that the way that you're saying it to me is that you had many different competing ideas. I mean, the way that I speak it up, you had competing ideas of these are potential business opportunities to be done and that you've learned, right? But how did you choose, I guess, this opportunity for logistics versus, say, the others that you were encountering? Because, like, for example, give me the other opportunities that you also had, that which were like, wow, these were great ideas. You know, I could pursue them.
I actually tried to set up my own virtual assistant company in 2016, because that was I was trying to benchmark what was the industry that was emerging in 2016. So that was the virtual assistant community. So I hired my sisters, and then I told them, you work for me. But we didn't push through for more than a year because I was losing clients, primarily because we can't get enough VAs under me at that time. So I did everything for, like, when we get new clients, we have to train new VAs, right? But we didn't have enough capacity to recruit people in our team. So I tried setting up that company before, and it was doing well. Like, in a year, we had like several clients. But you know, in the service industry, especially with the virtual assistants, if you lose one client, it's like a domino effect because it's gonna spread out in the, you know, in the industry. So like, they're gonna fall out eventually. So I said, oh my God, I thought I'm gonna do good in this business. So I got back to being a VA. I continued working for my clients, and then I learned further about the industry. And the reason why we chose logistics in 2019, and I've told this story so many times, especially in the launch, and I was crying. It was because my son, who has special needs, so it was actually, we were having a lot of challenges in terms of the medication and everything.
And my husband, this is pre-pandemic pa to, pre-pandemic to.
Yeah, pre-pandemic. So in 2019, my husband, who also graduated a different course, he's an electrical engineer by profession, was doing Grab at that time. He was a rider, a motorcycle rider for Grab. And Grab at that time was just emerging for the motorcycle stuff. So he told me that, you're good in doing the market research. Why don't you research the logistics industry? So I did. And so I did. I did it for 3 months. Wow. I did a feasibility study. So I submitted it, you know what, to my colleague, my senior colleague in Japan. I asked her, do you think this is worth your investment if I bring this to your table? And if you think this is a startup company. So I didn't told her that it was my idea. Mm-hmm. I didn't tell her it was my husband's idea. And then she read it and then she said, wow, this is like something. Yeah. So she said, this is going to be a breakthrough if you're able to, pivot this business. And I said, okay, I got a green light from a consultant. I got a green light from a senior analyst. And then I said, that's my business. So fund it.
So who funded it initially? Ikaw ba? Or is it bootstrapping? Was the money from your pocket? Or did you get, you had an angel investor at the start?
I had an angel investor and her name was really an angel. Her name was Angela. She was my, she was a senior consultant in our company. She was based in Japan.
Pinoy ba siya? Or is she Japanese? Or she's...
Japanese. She's a Japanese-American. And I'm proud to say she invested 70,000 pesos at that time, because initially we were just gonna cater Bulacan to Manila and then Manila to Bulacan, vice versa. So that was the original plan.
Okay, so you did study the industry, so you used your market analytical skills to understand. And what was that biggest pain point that you saw, or that underserved opportunity that was not foreseen by bigger or smaller players? That's what I find interesting. How were you able to see something that more established players were not able to see?
Okay, so I ranked all the players in the industry at that time. I had to know what was their common mistake. What was the common link? Not mistake. What was the common link? And number one, it's customer service. No one ever got at least 3-star on Facebook. It's always 1.5, 2.5, 3, or sometimes 0. So that's the first. So I saw the opportunity that what if there's another logistics company who would serve the customers with a background coming from a BPO point?
From a BPO perspective.
Yeah. Something which has a customer obsession. It's a customer-obsessed industry. So that's one. And then the second one is that no one really tries to serve the unserved areas, the nearby provinces. Why? Because of proximity. Because no one wants the hard work. I'm not saying no one wants the hard work, but practically speaking, if you're a big company, you will invest on the areas where there are a lot of players, right?
Parang economies of scale to go to a smaller area.
Right. So I said, okay, let's try it out. How about we check on the shippers? Let's see if there's really a market in Bulacan to Manila. Because I cannot go outside my community. Number one, I don't have the resources. Number two, I don't have the team. It's just me and my husband. So I said, okay, if everything plays out, we can scale it. Gradually. That's the plan, RJ. Gradual scaling. And as an analyst, you should always have a contingency plan, right? There's always a contingency plan. You should have contingency 1, 2, 3, 4 up until, so at least you know. And my boss always tells me, Jamie, you know, he always tells me, he told me this because I also showed him the feasibility.
Di ba siya nag-invest si Jamie?
he did actually. Oh, he helped me. He did. And I was actually like tanggalan ng ano ng tinik sa puso, because he was the one who told me this, you know, Marge, how would you know if your business is successful? And then I asked him back, how? He said, if your business can flourish, can thrive without the help of other people, if your mindset is like that, like if you know how to pivot your way alone, if you don't depend on other business, other people, then your business will be successful. Meaning to say, if the model that you have is sustainable in itself, then you will be successful. So all the design that you're doing right now should promote sustainability.
Got that. Big lesson for all those listening here right now. It's the sustainability. And for you, help me understand better, you know, what made it possible, or how do you appreciate the fact that it's possible that only you can run it and that you can make it sustainable? How did your business model accomplish that?
So we created our own ecosystem. Even our clients are created.
Sige, paki-elaborate. Can you?
Yeah, so what we did mostly is that we have a model wherein Bex before was just one company. It's Bex Logistics. I told what's the best way to expand without putting additional OPEX, right? Because if you do asset buildup, you need to have a lot of capital.
That's right.
In place. And the worrying part in doing a lot of asset buildup, when something bad happens, disruptive things happen, you yes. cannot just eliminate your assets right away, right? Which is happening right now. And so the best way to do it is just have maybe one or two asset buildup. That would be enough. And then how do you scale it? You do franchise. So franchise, in a sense, for services, is quite difficult. Why? Because it's not like the food industry that you can replicate the menu.
That's right. The quality has to be the same every time, sort of like that one. And service is not easy to replicate every time. Or scale. Service is not easy to scale every time.
Yes, exactly. So because...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Because my core competency is in training and development, we have planned that all the franchisees will have an extensive training. It will be like similar to the call center type, the BPO types, that you cannot just brush off customer service. You cannot just brush off the operating system, the SOP, something like that. So it's going to be difficult if we are very relaxed, because you have to carry the brand. It's the same way as with what we're doing right now. So to spread out our name, our brand, we are doing the franchise. And then here's the good news. We also created another company. It's called Bex Worldwide. It was launched last year, actually. Bex Worldwide now serves as the sales arm. Why is it the sales arm? Because with Bex Worldwide, we help out our clients build their own businesses. And so it's a whole ecosystem for us, because we want to make sure that we just don't jump on the industry that is here right now. We also want to build our own ecosystem, our own community. We want to make sure that the people that we bring into the entire business are those ones who didn't have the opportunity at first. Because it was like us, eh? No, RJ, it was very hard. Honestly, it was very hard to get into the game. Going head to head with the first line of competitors, the three PLs, and then we went to the second line, and now we're competing with the third line. That's like the biggest players in the industry, because I would say we're all already competing with most of them, the big names in the industry.
When you're talking about this, I'm curious. When you're talking about building the third company, the sales, how exactly do you do the sales? So it's not logistics you're doing there. You're just becoming like a a storefront for them? Can you help me better understand what you mean by the sales?
So what we do with the third company, with Bex Worldwide, is that we train sellers on how to manage, on how to capitalize on e-commerce. And when they are able to compete, when they know how to do the business, and then we support them with the shipping.
Mm. Okay, so it's sort of in parallel. I'll teach you e-commerce, and I'll also have ability to ship for you at the same time. So wherever yes. you are, we'll take care yeah. of the logistics so that you create a marketplace for the clients to sell, or a storefront for the clients to sell. So that's what you were doing over here.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, let's get back to the idea that, okay, I had a really good idea. It's here now. And this is just a sample, diba? I mean, you can have a good idea, but it's another thing to implement that idea, because you weren't in that, you weren't from the logistics industry. Paano ka nagsimula? What was the first step? And I'm really curious about that. What was your first step to actually begin the business?
What we did is we benchmark a lot. I didn't benchmark here in the Philippines. I benchmark outside the country. So if you would notice, our business model is quite similar to what the other countries are, particularly in the Europe and in the United States. I did a lot of research because it was hard. Like, you know, if you don't have a background in logistics, number one, it's very hard because you don't know who to talk to. We don't have consultants. We can't hire consultants. That's the thing, RJ. I can't hire someone.
There was no cash flow the time yet to talk of it.
What we did first, I did a lot of research, and then I tried to automate the manual system. So at first, we were using the 3-ply receipt type, you know, the carbon type for the waybill. And then I said, it's not going to work. So we were predicting if we get like 100 shipments and there's only like two of us. I'm the customer service. My husband is the rider. I'm also the dispatch officer. Oh. So what we did is I created a Google form type. So kasi I don't have the means pa to hire someone to develop the system. So what we did is Google Forms. And then we tried to automate one by one, but not with the expensive type yet. So when we had the developer who's from Iloilo, but they're catering to a lot of US clients, I asked them if they can create a skeletal system for us, not as expensive as the others, but something that we can live by if we're catering like 200 to 500 parcels. Mm-hmm. And then we were good with the price. So basically, I gave them the concept. You just design it for me in a skeletal way, but it would reflect in a dashboard way. So it worked for us for 2 years. And then when we started getting funds, then that's where we, when we started developing the business dashboard from scratch. So it was all gradual. It was all gradual.
So the money that initially came in from your angel investor was the first one to get everything up and going. For the first 2 years?
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, it was pretty much like that.
Really amazing story. I'm so inspired by your story here right now. And I want to just greet this guy, John Betts, who sabi niya Web 3.0 is the future. Galeng, thank you for leading the way, Bex. And he's also asking, John's also asking, how much is franchising? And right now, I think what they can do is they can actually go to your website and they can inquire over there. Then I think the rates will be, you can find it on the website.
Yeah, it will be
on the website of bexcs.com.ph. I'm leaving that here on the screen. Okay, so let's move on a bit with regard to your story, because I find it very interesting. So 2 years you were doing this business, 2019, it was chugging along. Then of course, March 2020 hit, the pandemic hit.
Yeah.
What was its effect to the business? Because I mean, by this time, we know that, you know, it went two ways for logistics, right? If it's only the two of you there, it either exponentially grew, because that's the only way that you could have gone for logistics, because that was one of the sunrise industries during the pandemic, or you might have shut down. So what did the pandemic do to your business? Did it greatly accelerate it? Was it an accelerant for your business?
Okay, so this is also, I wanted to share this, RJ, and thank you for giving me this chance not to share it. So before, pre-pandemic, I was about to close the company.
Oh. Okay.
I was about to close because I was just giving it 6 months. I said, okay, on my timeline, if I can't increase the sales, because I'm very, you know, I, of course, I'm an accountant. I'm also an analyst. We started with 70,000 capital In 2019, we ended at 47,000 sales. So probably the net was just a half of it. So I was saying, if this will not go on, like I cannot capitalize anymore because it's really hard. We don't have investors. We don't have a portfolio, something like that. So actually, before we were closing, then came the announcement, there's a lockdown. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, is this a sign from God that we were going to close the company? And my husband and I were just quiet. Because we don't know what to do. That's the reality, RJ. I don't know what to do. And we were just looking at our son. And he was telling me, if we don't go out, we're just going to be hungry. Our son's not going to be able to get medication. And that's it. And at that time, we got one booking. So they were telling us, you need to go out and deliver the PPEs and the masks. And I said, paano yun? How can I leave my son? It's ECQ. Mm-hmm. My parents are locked down in a different subdivision, in a different place. And there's like three of us. So sabi niya, we have to bring him to all the deliveries. So
wow.
Eventually.
Yeah. The height of the ECQ.
Yes.
So what people don't realize is that when you put up decks, you guys were taking the orders and you were doing delivering the orders at the same time. And it was the whole family.
Naka-PPE
kayo lahat habang nag-deliver.
No, we weren't even wearing PPE kasi at that time it was so expensive. And RJ, we even experienced riding the motorcycle. My son was in front. He was also wearing helmet. He was like 4 then. My husband was driving. I was having the grab bag with full of parcels kasi we were delivering, all three of us. So we experienced that. We know how you know the buhay ng riders. We know that. Kaya we love our team very much. And so we were delivering. We were hiding him from the officers. We were caught. Ilang beses we were caught in Bataan. We were caught in Pampanga. But the police officers, whenever we show them the certificate, because we had to ask the barangay. I was interviewed by Rappler back then because I was one of the parents who were having difficulties at the time because my son really has fixation in going out. So I had to get a certificate from the barangay and then show it to the police officer, to the army, right? So tell them na, please, we are working and we have to bring our son with us. Mm-hmm. So we hide him sometimes in the boxes. So those were the days that you were going to say na, it's now or never. You do this, or you'll never get to the end of the story. So eventually, we got a lot of bookings. After ECQ, we ended like a sale of 52,000. I could still remember that because I had to bring tithes to my church. So I was so happy that for the first time, we ended in 1 month, 52,000 net.
Wow.
Of sales.
Wow.
Because we were the only ones who were coming out because we have the papers. So one tip for all entrepreneurs, you really have to work on your papers because it proves that you are really serious in doing business. If we didn't have the right paperwork, we couldn't have gotten out during ECQ. So that was like the turning point. And then we talked about it and my husband said, okay, let's do this. Whatever happens, let's continue, Bex. Let's do this. So we started recruiting people. I recruited my sisters again.
Okay, yeah, diba? Fastest recruits.
yes. Oh. So yeah, we recruited them and then we ended with one branch. Wow. So the oldest branch to date.
And it's not that old because you were just developed this all amidst the pandemic. So it's not really an old branch. Raquel GR just saying over here, amazing story, Miss March. God bless you more. Really, God bless you, March. And thank you so much for sharing the story. This is, and then ito, kay Ruby Evangelista, grabe ang pinagdaanan. You deserve every success, Miss March. And
thank
like, you. God is good. That's all I can say. God is good.
Yes.
And you never expect it sometimes in the midst of, like I said, in the midst of crisis lies great opportunity. And you kind of just embody that right over here. Now, in our story earlier on, when I introduced you, it came from one branch. Now you have got 10. Tell me, how did you scale so fast in that year since the start of the pandemic up to right now?
Yeah. So most of the branch owners are our clients. So they were very happy with the service. We didn't really plan RJ to expand right away because I know the deal. before you can even franchise, you need to have a proof of your concept. Mm-hmm. That's the goal. Mm-hmm. You need to make sure that you're earning before you invite other people that, hey, what the business that I'm doing is really profitable.
That's right.
So, yeah. So, but eventually, they keep, you know, people keep coming to us and saying, you know what? I like what you do. We love your service. Can we also do it? And who am I to like say, no, you can't do it? So, honestly, the other branches came out of, you know, out of the clients wanting to do the business with us. So, and us wanting to help them build legacy. Because from the start, this is part of our goal. Like, we want other parents like us to believe that there's more, that there's more that they can do. Hindi totoo yung hanggang pangarap na lang yan. Kaya yan. Kayang-kaya yan. If you really put your mind into it, kayang-kaya yan.
Hello there! Chinky Tan here, motivational speaker, wealth coach, best-selling author, and now host of Chink Positive Podcast, a podcast that aims to help you to become wealthy and debt-free by teaching you on how to save, budget, get out of debt, and invest. Powered by Podcast Network Asia. Available on wherever you get your podcasts. See you there!
Grab. I mean, the story. The story itself is just so. It's just so. I find it so inspiring for me. One of the best stories I've heard coming out of this pandemic, Marge. And how? What was the point for you? I guess when you. I mean, first of all, I want to say that, you know, that's some of the best customers that you, the best partners you can have for people who are your clients, because you know it's not just a good word about you. They said, I like your service so much. I'm willing to
do it. Right. Yeah. Oh.
But the other one is, what is the point for you? And I often ask this to many entrepreneurs when you go all of a sudden, oh my God, it looks like we're going to make it. But there came a point that it's actually going to grow. Because like for me, there came a point for me also in doing my business Mercata. Like when I saw like thousands of people coming to the market and you know I didn't even have to tell them about what I was doing. They just knew. I was going, wow, this is where we're headed. Where was that point for you for Bex where you said, my gosh, it's getting somewhere.
Actually, there were a lot of times na parang sabi ko, we're not gonna make it. We're not gonna make it. But one time when I was thinking about the business model, and then came to a point that someone was calling us and saying your business is franchisable. Mm-hmm. It was like a sign for me, like okay, because I've been thinking about getting investors. This is the reality. When you're a startup company, number one, if you are like the typical startup owner that you have put everything, like this is your lifestyle. This is not the business that you just put in, you know, in mind na gagawin ko lang to, but ito na yun eh. It's your bread and butter. You can't just sell a portion of it. Ganun minsan yung mindset. So sabi ko, I'm not ready. I'm not ready at that time for investors. How do I scale it? And then someone called us, your business is franchisable. Do you want to franchise it? And I was like, that was the turning point. And I would say, we're going to make it. Because I know if we get out in the market, if people knows about the model that we have, and it's not just a model for us, it's a model for everyone, which is why we always tell this, it's a model for everyone, because we want to empower MSMEs. We want to tell them that, hey, we were able to make it, you're gonna make it, and you will make it.
Wow. Really great story over there of how I mean, you're an entrepreneur helping other entrepreneurs. And usually when you come with that advocacy, I mean, I go back again to what Simon Sinek, you know, said about start with why, diba? Parang it's more than just yourself, diba? Sometimes yeah. when you're doing the business and it's more than just it's not how you're making money, it's why you're making money or why you're doing the business. And that really inspires you, especially during the most challenging of times. Now, I was looking at the business, it's not just the customized delivery that you're doing right now, but you're also offering other sort of like complementary services. How did these other services come about? Were you still using your market analytical skills to just keep adding on to them? How did you come across the others?
Okay, so that's true. I was using my market analytical skills because I'd be very honest. to grow the business, you need a lot of capitalization, right? If you want to scale it at some point, you need investors. And I've been studying the market. Fintech right now is the most trending, and a lot of investors, a lot of the big players in the business world would like to invest on a company with fintech on it, with technology, not just plain logistics. And so I said, I need to do something. I have to tweak the model at some point, because if the franchisee will just rely on the parcel delivery, what if there's a lot of players already, what if they cannot do the quota for the parcels, right? So they need another revenue stream. Mm-hmm. So what we did is we expanded, we added fintech to it. We are also the first franchise who will be able to do the token exchange.
Wow.
Because yes, that's one of our flagship. We will be able to do the token exchange and the remittance and the buy-in center, the payment center. So aside from it, we also did the warehousing, because we are going to support provinces, MSMEs who are not able to warehouse in their home, diba? So mm-hmm. when they do the dropship, it doesn't have to be in their property, because we don't want them expanding. This is the common, I'll tell you the common problem of the sellers right now. They think that because they are selling a lot, they already have products, they already have enough stocks. They want to invest on the warehouse as well, and on the delivery as well, which is not their core competency.
And grabbing capex yan, grabbing capitalization yan. So I see what you're taking, basically how you plan to expand the franchises, that you can expand a lot in specific areas, but it might be you controlling the warehouse.
Yes, yes.
So they can all definitely do drop shipping from your warehouse to their areas that are nearby.
Exactly. Wow.
And then, that's a bit more. I hope Felix of Tetrix is still listening. You're going into blockchain for logistics, and we don't have much time, but this is something I want to talk about. Why it's so important? Because people all think that blockchain is all about crypto, but crypto is one part. Blockchain is really one of the bigger revolutionary things that can happen to logistics. Can you explain why you're getting into using blockchain for logistics, for those who might not appreciate its advantages?
Okay, so what are the advantages of blockchain? Number one is transparency. So when there's visibility on the paperwork, on the paper trails, it cuts down the time period of processing all the shipments. For example, if it goes from the warehouse and to the doorstep of the customer, there's transparency. The customer can view the trail of their shipments from the warehouse going to their doorstep. That's one. It solves that problem. Number two, it also solves the payment problem. Because right now, remittance is very hard. Like if you do the cash on delivery, you'd have to wait for, In short, the capital that's supposed to roll in the seller's end, they can't use it because they have to wait. They have to wait from the buyer to be collected, and then to the logistics, and then remit it to the seller, and then tumakbo na yung araw. Natulog na yung capital mo. And then you have to incur interest. Why? Because you're gonna borrow money from someone, from other people, from the bank, you're gonna borrow. Ikaw yung tumubo na interest, natulog lang yung pondo mo. So if there's blockchain on it, there's a streamlined process. It's on one chain. You see everything, even the payments are streamless. Because we're gonna use, we are going to use token exchange as well for the payments. We're gonna do that. So it would save a lot of time and effort, plus the fees. It will lower down the fees. Why it's gonna lower down the fees? Wala nang masyadong middle person.
Yeah, I was gonna say you lessen the friction costs. You lessen the friction.
Right.
Where things happen. And token exchange just means that you're just using technically one crypto to another crypto instead to make it.
That's right.
Really great, really a lot of great things that we're covering here. And I there's a lot of great entrepreneurial and business lessons that are being shared here. Now, there are a lot of entrepreneurs also listening to us here right now. And I guess let's help them out a bit more. What do you see as the emerging opportunities when it comes to, not just in logistics, right? I mean, you're seeing other opportunities which are emerging as a result of what you're doing. What are the trends that you see that are coming out that are in logistics that don't necessarily compete with you, but complement you, or surrounding the products which you are shipping out that you think entrepreneurs can still take advantage of?
Well, number one is the drop shipping platforms. actually, we're working with two drop shipping platforms right now. This is one of the best solutions, I think. Na? It saves you capex because you don't need to maintain a warehouse. That's one. It also saves you time because you don't need to invoice your. I mean, if there's a system that can process everything for you, you just have to work on your core. So you choose your products, you sell it. Because this is what I've been telling a lot of us. If you do the business, you need to focus on the sales because there's no cash flow without the sales. And sometimes if you focus on other things that are not necessary for you to grow your business, you forget the sales part of your business. So the emerging trends right now, number one, are drop shipping platforms. They can take advantage of it. I'll mention the name. So we have like EasySellPH. So EasySellPH is one of the platforms that we're backing up right now in terms of fulfillment. So they have the capacity to sell the products, the goods. So as a manufacturer, for example, if I'm a manufacturer, I do manufacture, but I'm not strong in selling, then I can put my products in there and they'll be the one to sell for you. And then we also have an upcoming platform. It's more on the drop shipping side, wherein if I'm a reseller, I can create my own brand. And I can choose from the warehouses. I can
Sort of make a market. You just create your own storefront, a digital storefront for people to pick and choose from there. Then you just have the, hopefully the warehouses are nearby lang that they can get from.
Yes. And we're there to back them up in terms of the fulfillment. So there's like streamlined processes. All they really need to do is to focus on scaling the business, to create a business plan. Because that's how you scale your business. You need to have a business plan. You need to scale it in a way that it's already plotted in your calendar.
Got that. Very nice. I like that. But it, even if it's just in your dreams, you're plotting it already out in your calendar. In terms of the products that you're seeing or trends that you're seeing in terms of the products that are the most quote-unquote movable, fast moving goods, what are the things that you're seeing really, really growing very exponentially in terms of products being sold or being shipped?
Number one right now is skincare. Skincare, it's one of the fastest trend right now. I think it's going to grow more in the next coming years. Anything related to health, actually. Because people are getting more, health conscious. And they have a lot of time to, think about the beauty side, the aesthetic side. So there's an emerging market on health products and on skincare. So anything in relation to skincare. And hopefully we can also see emerging trends on food business. In the food business side, just to give an announcement, we are also working on the food chain. Because we know that there's a problem in the perishables right now.
So the cold chain. Cold chain.
Both. Cold chain and also the dry goods, the farm to table, as what they say. We have been awarded with a project from Denba Japan. So we are studying now on how to reduce the perishability of an item from 70% to 30% while in transit. And this will help a lot of our farmers, the people who really work hard to produce, the vegetables and fruits. So we're doing this research and hopefully it will be launched in the next couple of months.
Yeah, and that type of technology was actually very important, especially for the vaccines coming over here and to deliver into farther flung areas. And hopefully
it's going to be part of it.
Hopefully not that we need another batch of vaccines, but if we do, it'll be very helpful when it comes to that one over here. Wow, there's so much learning going on over here, Marge, and I hope that the listeners of the podcast get to appreciate that one. And we're going to start wrapping up. And as we start to wrap up over here, I just wanted to ask you, you've gone through everything. You've gone through, being an employee, to be the one actually delivering these things. You've gone through the hardships. You've gone through the successes. If you were to share your life and business lessons here let's say, three or four life business lessons that you want to share with future entrepreneurs, what would those lessons be that you'd like to impart to them?
Okay. You have to be firm. So as the Bible says as well, no, the Lord doesn't like people who are changeable minded. So you have to be firm. If you dream, you dream. If you want to do it, you do it. That's number one. And then number two, don't be afraid, because, sometimes the thing that gets the best out of us is fear. if I had the fear to compete with the big giants right now in the industry, if I had the, you know, if I let my fear, like, I'm not gonna make it, no one's gonna notice us, I don't think Bex is gonna be here. And then number three, you need to create your support group. Okay, so it's very important that you have your family, your friends back you up, because at the end of the day, the people who will matter in you deciding your future will always be them. So it's very important that you know, you don't burn bridges.
Exactly.
That's what they say. You don't burn bridges. Yeah, if you get rejected by some people, you know. So actually, that's the third one. You build a support group. And the last one, you don't take no for an answer. You don't take no for an answer. I have learned it when I was selling houses in the, you know, in the US. Laging sinasabi yan sa akin, you don't take no for an answer. If they say no, it means you just have to find 10 more people, 20 more people, 40 more people, 100 more people to believe you. And in those numbers, you will get at least 1 to 2 people who will really believe what you are really envisioning. And that's what's more important. So those are the four lessons. You don't take no for an answer. You just go, you just continue, because the Lord sees your heart and He knows when to reward you. And definitely, if the Lord is the center of your business, everything will fall into place.
Amen. God is good all the time. And having said that, I'm glad that I didn't take no for an answer to make sure that you became a guest. Clark, my producer, commented over here. He said over here, very inspiring story. Over here, and you know, Clark's heard a lot of my stories that have come on the show. From here, that's quite
thank
a
you, Clark.
To how powerful, I guess, this podcast was here tonight. And for those of you who are listening here right now, and you are interested to secure a franchise in your place, and like I said, the opportunity here actually lies to get in smaller areas, not in the city, get in the smaller areas yeah. over there. It might yes. be just for you. So please get in touch with us right now. That's www.beccs.com.ph. From Ruby Evangelista, just want to her last comment here was nice. I'm glad I watched. Golden advice every entrepreneur needs. So inspired. God bless you, Sir RJ and Sir and Miss March. And Ruby, if you're really inspired, please continue to follow and watch the RJ Ledesma podcast. Again,
yes.
March, thanks so much for guesting here. Me and March, actually, I'm soon to belong to their same BNI Infinity chapter together with the President Mike Santico.
Yay!
Happy to have you over here, and hoping to guest more people from our chapter. Again, RJ Ledesma, thanks so much. We will see you and hear from you in our next RJ Ledesma podcast this coming Thursday. Thanks again, guys.
Thank
have a great evening.
Bye.
Bye.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.